The Bible says in the book of Colossians that Christ now lives in us. If we are believers, we've surrendered to Jesus, then Christ lives in us because the Holy Spirit lives in us. The book of Corinthians says that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit where Christ lives. So this is a very powerful truth that the Holy Spirit is active and living and moving, and God, it lives within those who believe. And now he does not just want to live in us, he wants to live through us. And we talked about this last week that we're putting in foundational teachings to help us understand how to walk in the power of God, that we have clear direction for 2020. And we began last week with the supernatural life. And this is what we said. Jesus came to the earth and was fully man. And how he lived his life was completely surrendered to the Father. And then he let the Holy Spirit work through him. And so even the Son of God, as he came to redeem mankind, he had to surrender to the Father and allow the Holy Spirit to work through him. And so he lived a supernatural life. And then he turned around and told his disciples, you can do exactly what I did. I mean, that is an amazing thing. I think some of us are still going, really? I mean, did Jesus really say it? Yes, he really said it. And I know we talked about the reasons why we might not be there yet, but just because we haven't experienced it yet doesn't mean it's not coming. Are y'all awake out there? There's amazing things happening in our church. I wish I could go through every one of them. I'm going to tell you this right now. I am witnessing relational miracles these last few weeks. I've seen relationships restored that I did not expect to be restored. I've seen people coming together who I thought would never get back together. There are relational miracles happening in this church. Amen? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Now, what I want you to understand, that's a precursor. That's a precursor to all the other miracles that God wants. Because I was saying, God, I've been praying for this, and I've been praying for this, and what you're giving me is relationships miracles. And I'm like, that's wonderful, but what about all this other stuff? He said, Psalm 133 says, when brethren dwell together in unity, God commands the blessing. So we have to have the relationship miracles first so that we can dwell in unity. And as we choose to live right with one another and let the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, as we let the fruits of the Spirit flow through us and we get healed relationally, then we will see the manifestation of all these other healings and deliverance and all the things that we're praying for. Come on, church. God is doing something amazing right here in Plainview, Texas through Harvest Christian Fellowship. And I want to encourage you to soften your heart and let the Holy Spirit continue to speak to you, because God wants to use every one of us. Every one of us are ministers of the gospel. We serve others and we speak love and we speak life and we release the power of Jesus into the world around us. Every one of us are called to share the life of Christ. And what God is doing right now is bringing us the power we need to live that supernatural ministry life. He's bringing us awareness and truth and a release of who we are in the Spirit of God. Every one of you who are born again Christians have been indwelt by the Spirit and been gifted by the Spirit to do supernatural things. And now what God wants to do is make you aware of it. And your only job in all of this is just to believe it's possible. Your only job in all this, believe it's possible and keep your heart soft toward what God wants to do in your life so that he can use you to the fullness. And I want to tell you the beauty of it. When you soften your heart and you believe, you are the one who benefits most. I mean, those people you bless are way benefited, but it always comes back to you later and greater with a blessing. You're just going, I can't contain this. The greatest things that I've ever experienced are when God uses me to bless other people, and it's such a fulfillment of who I am in Christ. And I know so many of you know exactly what I'm talking about, but God wants to multiply your ministry in this city, in this region, Now, for almost all the 30 years of our church's existence, we have been receiving prophetic words that say something like this. You remember the Bonanza TV show? And it would light the map and the fire would flow out from... We've had that word so many times in so many different ways that there's going to be a fire that starts in Harvest in Plainview, Texas. And it's going to affect the whole region. And then it's going to shoot out arrows into the earth as we plant churches all over the world. I've been receiving prophetic words like crazy since the first of the year from the most unlikely sources. Do you know why? Because I think everybody actually believed what JC told us on the first Sunday of the year. All can prophesy. I mean, people are telling me so many things, I can't remember them. I'm like, would you type that up and send me an email? But just this last week, we had a powerful prophetic word about us sending people all over the world. That's amazing. I mean, do you realize what we have in this church is such a treasure? If you've never been to church anywhere else, let me tell you, this is a treasure. The love, the health, the unity, the desire for spiritual things, the incredible fellowship that we experience. Guys, it is amazing what we have, and God wants to fill us up. And that's what he's doing right now. Right now, he is completely moving inside this church. But his desire is for you then to take it outside where ministry is going on everywhere. I see y'all are contemplating that. So last week was the supernatural life. This week we're going to put another building block in the foundation so we can grow from here and agree with God. Are y'all good with that? Let me pray and we'll just move right on forward. Lord, this is a prayer you gave me. I release it now in Jesus' name. Let the wind blow of the Spirit, God. Let the fire burn. And let the river flow. Let the fire burn, let the wind blow, and let the river flow. Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives right now in this service. And everybody agreed, said, amen. Amen. So here's the deal today. Unleash the power of God in this land. That's where we're moving to, more rapidly than I could have ever imagined. See, we're not here to run programs. We're not here to just do ministry. Listen, we are here to partner with God through the Holy Spirit to release, to unleash power, to unleash love, to release mercy and forgiveness and transforming power into regular, normal people's lives. We're here to experience God on a whole new level and go deeper, 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 deeper every day to where he is manifest in our lives and literally Jesus is in control and we've surrendered completely and God is receiving all the glory through every action that we take. Can you imagine? Look around this room. There's people, there's so many people here I can't even count. God is bringing people here like never before because he wants them to hear this transformative message of the power of the Holy Spirit who is working right here today, even in Plainview, Texas. We are here to advance the kingdom of God. Anybody interested? Amen. I've been eat up with this for about 25 years. April will mark 25 years that I've been a member of this church. And I'm so blessed. My life has been so transformed by the message and the fellowship and the present work of the kingdom through this church. God wants to use us in greater ways than we could ever imagine. Here's the scripture, Colossians 1, verse 25 through 29. Now, I'm going to, the first half of this, I'm going to basically talk about this week. The second half, then, we'll build further into next week. But we need to read it all so we'll have an idea of where we're going. Now, the Apostle Paul was a major church planter in the New Testament. He started out hating Jesus. And if you know the story, then Jesus met him through the Spirit on the road to Damascus. He was riding a donkey to Damascus, and a big light showed up and knocked him out and made him blind. And then Ananias came and healed him, and he surrendered his life to Jesus. Go read the book of Acts. It's an amazing story. And then the Paul spent about, 13 to 20 years in no man's land, because God was rewiring his mind, his thoughts, and his heart. And then he released him into public ministry, and he went from hating Jesus to writing the majority of the New Testament. This is an amazing story. So it doesn't matter what your past is, you probably weren't as bad as the Apostle Paul. And he ended up writing the majority of what we teach and preach in the New Testament. Just a little context for those of you who aren't fully aware. Now, he planted a church in Colossae, and then he wrote them a letter, so we call it the book, or the letter to the church, and so we call it Colossians. Here we go. Verse 25, he's explaining what his job is. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. Now, I won't spend a lot of time here. I just want to touch this lightly. Many, many, many of us come from church backgrounds who did not teach us the entire message. They only taught a partial message, and we'll get further into that later. But Paul says our job, his job to the church, and I take that real personal. My job is to teach you the entire message of the gospel. So, verse 26, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know the riches of the glory of Christ are for you, the Gentiles. That means everybody who wasn't a Jew. And this is the secret. Are you ready? Christ lives in you. And you're like, well, that's no secret. Well, they unveiled this secret centuries ago, okay? About 2,000 years ago, they let it out of the bag. So you go, well, that's not, here's the problem. We're so familiar. Oh yeah, Christ lives in me. You know, I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 6 years old. And it's real, but that's all that happens. So I'm not putting anybody down, I'm not trying to be ugly, but so many of us are so casual about the reality that Christ, this is the anointed king. Did you hear my wife pray out and speak out all the names and realities of Jesus? That's in you. Wake up. In you is all the power of God. And most of us pretty much live unaware. And these messages are to help us become aware so we can what? Step into this new, powerful, deep spiritual reality. So Christ lives in you. This gives you the assurance of sharing, say it with me, in his glory. Say it again, glory. You know another place in the New Testament? It says that our hearts long to be glorified. See, we think, oh, shame on you if you want to receive glory. No, no, no. You want, if you're a Christian, you want to receive glory. Why? Because if you're truly humble, the glory comes to you and reflects out as Jesus. Yeah. We all desire that glory. Don't be ashamed that you want to be glorified, because your desire to be glorified in the truest sense is your desire to let Christ shine through you. What does Matthew say? You are the light of the world. Really? Yeah, Jesus said to his disciples, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Well, I want to tell you something. We are not physically set on a hill in Plainview, Texas. But the good news is, it's in plain view. So if you start shining, everybody in West Texas is gonna see it, because there's no trees to inhibit their view. There's no mountains to distract them. There's no rivers to get their attention. You will shine, and everybody like, whoa! Look over there at Plain View, at Harvest Christian Fellowship. There's a bunch of people on fire. Y'all don't know this because you don't look at numbers every week, but our attendance has skyrocketed since the first of the year. 3 weeks in a row now, we're blowing up all of our averages. We didn't do a media campaign. We didn't do a pretty cool advertisement. I don't know what we did except just, Jesus, here we still are doing what we're doing. I think what happened is we opened our hearts to receive. We said, we're surrendered. God's ready to move, church. Just keep your heart open. There's no telling what he'll do with you. I mean, it will blow your mind in a good way. So the last part of this we'll cover more next week, but I have to read it. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone to teach and teaching everyone with all the wisdom of God has given us. We want to present them, all the people, to God, perfect in their relationship with Christ. Not perfect in action, but mature is what it means. Complete in their relationship with Christ. That's why I work so hard and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. The Apostle Paul understood he could do nothing except Christ living through him could do all things. He even said in another place, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me or lives through me. So here's what I believe. I believe God is ready to unleash the power of God in this land. Before we go any further, let me tell you what the word unleash means. Simply means let loose. Now let me give you some synonyms. Loose, loosen, release, uncork. Have you ever taken a bottle of champagne and shaken it up and uncorked it? Okay, none of you will admit it, but you've watched it on TV. Done that, right? We'll talk about drinking here in a minute. Unlock, unloosen, unloose. Now here's what's really going to be telling are the antonyms, the opposite of unleash. Bridle, check, constrain, contain, control, curb, govern, hold, inhibit, regulate, rein, restrain, smother, tame. I don't want you to get mad at anybody, but how many of you have been in a church and you started feeling full of the Holy Spirit and you wanted to release the power of the Spirit and you felt tamed, smothered, restrained, controlled, or curbed? Well, I'm not mad at anybody about that, but I want to tell you right now, you're sitting in a physical location called Harvest Christian Fellowship, and you are not smothered. You are not restrained. You are not controlled. You are released. You are uncorked. We are loosing the power of God into your life so you can turn around and loose it into the lives of people out in this community. That's a good place to be. And some of you are like, what's he talking about? Just hang on. Just stay with me. Just stay with me. Even if your mind says, what's going on here? Your heart says, yes, 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 yes. I know because I've been in your seat. I've talked to so many people who've come to our church and they're like, I just didn't know any of this stuff was possible. Nobody ever told me about the power of the Holy Spirit. Nobody ever read the scriptures to me or taught me how to walk in the power of the Spirit. This is what we're here for. Why? So that we can be a Holy Spirit church? No. So we can be cool? No. So the kingdom of God can advance through us. That's why. It was a supernatural thing when Jesus died on the cross. It was a very supernatural thing when he rose from the dead. You know, churches all across America believe those two things, and those are the most supernatural things that ever happened. But some people are a little skittish when you say, read the book of Acts and see how the Holy Spirit fell on people and they prophesied and they spoke in tongues and they healed and they brought deliverance and cast out demons and they did all this stuff. And people are like, hey, if you can accept the cross and the resurrection, it's no problem to accept the filling of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a lot last week. Father God, Jesus the Son, God the Holy Spirit, It's all the same. One God, three expressions and three persons. So the Apostle Paul, we just read, talked about how he wanted to preach the entire message. That's what we're trying to do. Now, I want to go through some of my favorite scriptures, and I think it will inspire you. If it affects you like it did me when I first read these verses, here we go. Acts 1, verse 8. But you'll receive power. Would you say power? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Now, to make this fun, every time you see the word power, just say it with me. Okay, this is the Apostle Paul in Romans said, I will not presume to speak anything except Christ, what Christ has accomplished through me in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. How many of you have lived a powerless Christian life? You feel powerless to overcome temptation. You feel powerless against the darkness in your workplace. You feel powerless to help bring reconciliation and relationships in your family. There is a power in this gospel. How many of you felt powerless to overcome financially, like Kelly was talking about during the offering? How many of you felt powerless to serve or utilize the gifts that God has given you? I want to tell you that's a lie from the enemy. There is power in this gospel. There is power in the Holy Spirit. You don't have to live afraid. You don't have to live scared or fearful. You can step up this next morning and say, fill me with your power, God. I am your messenger. I'm here for you. Come and blow on through. Come on, I can't sing it as good as Colby. I'm ready for you. Come on, are you ready, church? Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to move through you? There's such potential. There's such amazing possibilities. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5, for the gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. See, the Bible tells us there's power. The power comes through the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 13, 52, the Bible tells us we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says the disciples were continually being filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians 5, 18, it says this, and do not get drunk with wine, for that leads to dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I told you we were going to talk about drinking. Shake up that champagne bottle. Just don't get drunk. But here's what the Bible says. Instead of getting drunk on wine, what's the implication? Get drunk on the Spirit. I know we're in church and nobody wants to act like they know what drunk looks like. But I think some of you do. You get a little bit loose. A little uninhibited. No telling what you might do when you're physically drunk. But see, the overcoming power of the Spirit is not the same as the being drunk on wine. Your inhibitions do go away, but you have the power of the Spirit working through you, and the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So you're not going to be out of control when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be in complete control, but you're going to be surrendered to the control of God through you. And it's a beautiful thing. If you've ever received the power of the Spirit like that, you won't go back to drinking wine. You won't go back to uncorking champagne. You'll just say, God, fill me with the Spirit. It's better than wine. It's better than honey. It's better than anything I've ever tasted. Fill me. I want to drink it in. Oh, this is good stuff. See, that's why I came to this church. I was a Christian. I was going to heaven. I wasn't worried about that. But when I heard about the power of the Holy Spirit and the present work of the kingdom of God, I was hooked. And I've been hooked for 25 years. April marks 25 years I've been a member of this church. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for people who taught me the word, who showed me how to step into the Spirit, who exposed me to the power of the kingdom of God. And I'm just here trying to be faithful. As Colossians said, to proclaim to you the entire message of the gospel. See, if we can embrace the entire message, then we can receive power to go change our culture. We can receive power to walk into darkness unafraid by the leadership of the Holy Spirit and bring transformation through the way that we live together in community. There's no lone ranger in the kingdom of God. We're not commissioning you to go out on your own and come back and tell us of your great exploits. No, we're saying together as the body functions together, then we can do mighty things in our community. Never alone, always together, believing in the power of the Holy Spirit, advancing the kingdom of God, loving one another, and treating each other as the most important people on the planet. If we'll do these things, we'll see the kingdom come to the earth. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." The kingdom doesn't come without the power of the Holy Spirit being established in the hearts of the believers. Okay, so these are four verses from all four Gospels. You know what the Gospels are, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the story of Jesus Christ. Matthew told it from his vantage point, Mark, Luke, John. But they all felt it important to include this little thing. Let's go read it. Matthew 3:11, this is John the Baptist. You know John the Baptist, right? He taught repentance. He said, "There's forgiveness for your sins. Come and turn away from evil and be forgiven." That's what he taught, and then he dunked people in water. John the Baptizer. This is what John the Baptizer said. "As for me, I baptize with water for repentance or forgiveness or changing of your life. But he who's coming after me is mightier than I." He's speaking of Jesus. "And I am not fit to remove his sandals. And he," Jesus, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Ooh, yeah. Most of what all of us evangelicals heard growing up is Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's true. And my church didn't teach me this verse. I memorized a lot of Bible verses growing up, but they never had me memorize this one. And I'm not upset about that. I'm just saying we have to take the complete message. Many, 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 many churches in America and across the world stop with John's baptism. That is forgiveness of sins and salvation. But Jesus didn't just come to save you from your sins, he came to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He came to literally baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You know when we baptize in water, what baptize is a simple word, immersed, fully covered with. That's all it means. So we fully cover people with water, and you know what happens when they come up? It's dripping off of them. It is obvious that they've been baptized in water, right? It's going to be just as obvious when Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. When he dunks you in the Holy Spirit and you come up and it's just dripping off of you, everybody around you is going to go, "Something happened." Because the power and the manifest presence of God and the love of God and the supernatural works of God are just going to start flowing through you. It's going to be amazing. Some of you have never heard this before, and so this is an invitation to open your heart and open your mind that Jesus' message didn't stop with baptism in water. It went further to being baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. Mark said it this way, "I baptize you with water," he's quoting John the Baptist, "but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." Then Luke recorded it this way, John answered and said to them, as for me, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who's mightier than I. I'm not fit to untie the thong of his sandal. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then John said it this way. He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Now, he's talking about when John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, like water baptism. And when he came up, what does it say? The Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and it remained with him. So John said, when you see the guy who the Spirit sticks with, then he's the one who's gonna baptize you in the Spirit, just like John has been baptizing people in water. Good stuff, huh? Might be radical if you never heard it before. I just challenge you, go read these references. Go read the Gospels again. Go read the book of Acts, the New Testament. Read the book of Joel and Amos as they prophesied of all these things to come that were fulfilled in Christ. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Woo! Glory to God. I have lots of thoughts. Jesus, help me. I believe now more than ever, God wants to unleash his power in this land. He wants to uncork it. He wants to release it. He does not want to constrain it or control it. Listen. We can loose the power of God through our lives. Anybody interested? I know some of you are like, well, I'm logically with you, but I'm still thinking. That's okay. You just keep thinking. You keep praying. You go study the scripture for yourself, and you let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. That's just fine with me. My job is to expose you to the truth and ask you to go seek it out on your own. I just would encourage you, don't be afraid of God. There's nothing harmful in Jesus immersing you in his Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit again? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. I don't think those things are going to hurt you. So when you get a fuller expression within by being filled, without, by being baptized in. When you get more of the Holy Spirit, it's not a bad deal. It's very good. Trust me, I'm a doctor. No, I'm just kidding. Trust me, I'm a believer. Trust me, I'm your pastor. Listen, I wouldn't teach this something to you that's gonna hurt you. And let's see how Jesus said it about himself. We're gonna land right here, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember he said, the one who the Spirit comes upon and doesn't leave, that's Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and that the blind will see and the oppressed will be set free and that the time of the Lord's favor is now. Ever since Jesus came, he lived a sinless life. He died a sinner's death. He was buried in the ground, and he left sin, death, hell, and the grave in the ground, came up victorious in resurrection, and went back to heaven and released the power of the Holy Spirit. From that day till now, the favor of God has been released into the earth. And I'm here today to tell you that favor wants to visit you. That favor wants to come to your house, and you need just to open your heart. Open your mind. Open yourself and say, Holy Spirit, I'm ready. Jesus, baptize me fresh. I want the Spirit to be dripping off of me. Oh, fill me with the Spirit, Lord. I want the fruit of the Spirit. I want the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because my heart wants to advance the kingdom of Jesus right here, right now. Would you stand with me, church? The same that was true of Jesus is true of you because Colossians says Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Listen to me. What did it say? Your job is to bring good news to the poor. Your job is to set captives free, to bring sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, to proclaim the favor of God. Here's what you need to know. You can't do any of that unless you're covered in the Holy Spirit and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But every one of us can do that if we surrender. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill me today. We sang the song earlier. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We sang it earlier. Come and just blow through. Oh, God, it's my prayer. Would you bow your heads with me right now? God, it's my prayer that the fire of the Spirit would burn brightly in all of us, that the wind of the Spirit would blow a refreshing breeze on all of us, that the river of life would flow. Let it flow, God. God, you blessed me with this message and this truth so many years ago, and it's changed me. God, you know my heart. Just release it on us once again. Holy Spirit, fall on us today. We want to be baptized in the Spirit. We want to be filled with the Spirit because we want Jesus to be made known. We want forgiveness to be released. We want love to come to all the people of our city, our region, our state, our nation, oh, even to the ends of the earth, oh God. Holy Spirit, fall on us today. I just encourage you to open your hands and pray your own prayer right now. Just say, Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit right now. Come on, just release your prayers to Him. Speak it out. Doesn't matter who's around you. Jesus came to baptize you in the Spirit. This is the fullness of the gospel. Oh, Lord, release your power. Jesus, we need you to baptize us afresh today in the Holy Spirit power. We love you, God. We love you, God. We just want to be used by you. We want the kingdom of Jesus to advance through us, through this church. So come and have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I just asked our prayer team to come forward, and we're going to sing a song to dismiss like we always do. If you're ready to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, just come. Just come and tell one of these wonderful people. We're just going to ask God to bless you with a freshness. And you see, if you understand through the book of Acts, one of Jesus' favorite ways to distribute the power of His Spirit is through the laying on of hands. You read all through Acts, they would put their hand on someone and the power of the Holy Spirit would just wash over them. See, Christ is in you. Now Christ wants to release His blessing on others through you. Oh, man. Just grab a hand of somebody next to you. Just grab hands all across this place. You know, we started this last week or 2 weeks ago where we just say, hey, we're all ministers and we're all going to release this. You can wash your hands right after church. It's okay. Just grab a hand with somebody and just say a prayer. Let's just all repeat this prayer so we're running out of time. Say, dear God, unleash your power in this church. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Sing a song. Come and receive further ministry. God bless you. I can't wait to see what Christ does through our church in this city. God bless you.